The Fellowship of the Withered Hand is a strange and ancient community where strength is made perfect in weakness, where healing comes in revealing what we most want to hide, and where you die to yourself in order to become yourself. It is a phrase that I've used to describe that community of us who have gathered online and in conversations in a lot of different ways over the last several years. And when folks have become part of Become New, as we've gone along, they've sometimes wondered, what does that phrase mean? Where does it come from? So we're beginning a series today to unpack it. And we're going to study together, what does it mean to be a part of the Fellowship of the Withered Hand? And what I want to do today is to tell you a story about where it came from and what we're going to look at over these next weeks together. It actually began over 30 years ago, quite early on when I had started working as a pastor. I was invited to go speak for a group of pastors, basically underground churches in what was then Marxist Ethiopia. And I was invited to go with another pastor. His name was Paul. And we were there for a couple of weeks, but primarily for a conference that would run from early in the morning until late at night. We would tag team. One of us would talk for an hour until exhausted, then the other one would take over. And this went on for 2 days. And on the final night, Paul talked about this story of a man who had a withered hand. And it's so important that it was told in Matthew and in Mark and also in Luke. And Paul talked with that little group. I don't know, there were maybe 20 or so pastors of churches that were persecuted. The church was basically illegal. The country was run by Colonel Mengistu, who was a genocidal Marxist dictator who killed countless folks, and Christians were uniformly put into jail. In fact, when I was there, they would call the jail the university because they said that's where God would put people when he really wanted to grow them up. On the last session, when we were all together, Paul told the story. In Luke, it goes like this, that Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and he was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. Luke mentions this fact. Luke, as you might know, was a physician, so he would pay attention to this sort of thing. And a right hand in the ancient world was the most important hand. There's a very, very old tradition that this man was a mason, that he worked with his hands. And so having a shriveled hand meant that he had to beg, that he could not even work. Pharisees and the teachers of this law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand." Now, in the ancient world, if you were in a synagogue and you had a shriveled hand, the last thing in the world that you would want would be for other people to see it. This man was apparently a person of faith. He had, I am sure, prayed and asked God for healing for that hand. There are stories in the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament of God bringing healing, but it never happened for this guy. And it's quite interesting. Often, most often, when people receive a healing from Jesus in the New Testament, it's because they come to him and they ask. He didn't even ask. We don't know why. Maybe he'd kind of given up. Maybe he didn't believe. Maybe he was embarrassed. Most likely, if you're in a setting like that with a bunch of religious people, where folks who carry a stigma, people who have some kind of physical deformity, often were not allowed to go into the temple. That's the last place in the world where you want anybody to see the stigma that you have, the deformity that you feel like you carry. He most likely would have kept that hand quite carefully hidden. And then Jesus tells him to get up in front of everybody. And then Paul noted Jesus says to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He asked the man to do the one thing the man cannot do, that he had tried to do 1,000 times, but for some reason, his mind, his will, his neurons don't work right. And Paul began to say to those of us in that room, you know, that's what Jesus calls us to do. That's what Jesus calls you to do. That's part of the life that we're called to. He does not ask you just to do what you can, what any human being in human self-sufficiency is capable of doing. He asks you to do the very thing that you cannot do, to forgive the person that you cannot forgive, to be the kind of friend, the kind of man, the kind of woman, to correct the kind of fault that is beyond your ability, to live beyond your anxiety or beyond your depression or whatever it is, do what you cannot do. And the strangest thing happened. When Paul began to talk about that, and we were coming again to the end of two exhausting days, people began to do what the man in the story did. They began to stand up and confess their inadequacies and their weaknesses and their faults. And they talked about being jealous of one another's churches or one another's families or one another's gifts or one another's ministries. And they talked about the fear, what they had lost. They began to weep. Now, Paul didn't ask them to do any of these things. This is another indicator of the fellowship of the withered hand. When Paul and I went over there together, my job was mostly to preach and teach. So I thought, well, I'm pretty good at doing that kind of stuff. And it's not mostly what Paul did. He did missional kind of stuff. So I thought, well, I will be the one who really makes an impact. I know that just does not sound good. You're probably shocked that a pastor would ever think that way. But that's kind of what I went over there. And it was quite clear something happened in that room that is beyond the human ability to do it. There is a transcendent power that took place that fell on those of us who were in that room. And it was not about human giftedness. And that is the fellowship of the withered hand. And because of that, there was a kind of healing and a kind of encouraging and a kind of strengthening and a kind of community that happened. And what was remarkable is this, it's a story that happened 2,000 years earlier when that man was in the presence of Jesus and he did the very thing he did not want to do. He exposed that of which he was most ashamed, most defeated, felt most inadequate, most weak. And all of a sudden he was given power. And then 2,000 years later in Ethiopia, it happened again. That is the fellowship of the withered hand. When we meet and instead of pretending and, yep, I'm okay and my life is basically fine and I have all the strength that I need and I'm gifted and all that garbage that I tend to live with, and maybe you do too, when that somehow gets put aside and we're given for a moment the grace of desperate need, which then leads us to embrace reality and get real with each other, then power comes, then healing can flow. We see it in things like addiction. I can't. He can. I think I'll let him. Now, the fellowship of the withered hand is not a place where we gather together to be defined by our weaknesses or wounds. People think about it that sometimes. I know of a church that was wonderful when it came to inviting people just to come in and share their wounds. It was called Church of the Open Door. People would sometimes nickname it Church of the Open Sore. And there are folks where they want to go through life just being thought of as victims or living in self-pity. That's not the invitation. We are not meant to live ultimately just in the limitation of our weakness. We are called to live in the reality of his strength. Jesus, of course, in this story, is engaging in an act of great courage. In fact, when it is done, we're told the Pharisees and the Herodians, two people that had always hated each other. The Herodians worked with Herod. They collaborated with the Romans. The Pharisees hated those guys, but they banded together to see how they could kill Jesus. It's an act of great courage and great strength, and we're called to that. So we're going to walk together on this journey. There's a book that's been very helpful to me. It's a very dense book for me, Wandering in Darkness, written by a philosopher, Eleanor Stump, and she's agreed to be interviewed as part of this. There's another wonderful thinker, writer, Jerry Sitzer, who has gone through the fellowship of the withered hand himself in very deep ways, and we've talked, and he's going to be interviewed through this too. We're going to learn, how do we find God? How do we find power? How do we find healing? How do we find strength? How do you find hope? This began for me at a time when my life was just shattered like it had not been before, and I did not know what might there be in the future. And I would give anything in the world not to have gone through, not to have people that I love gone through some of what we have gone through, but I would not trade the meeting of God in it for anything. That's all part of the fellowship of the withered hand, the strange and ancient community into which people still come that is marked supremely by a cross. That's the journey we're going to be on over these next days. I will see you there in the fellowship of the withered hand.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim, and I'm a part of the team here at Become New. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also head to our website where we have hundreds more videos just like this one that you can browse and find something that's relevant to you and your life right now. You could also sign up there to receive the emails that go with each video or to get the daily text reminder or to browse our blog or other resources that we have there. I want to let you know that John is coming out with a new book titled Steps this February. The book's actually based on the series Ashes to Beauty that we did a few years ago, and we're really excited about it. You could go to Amazon right now and pre-order that book if you want, or check out all the details at our website, becomenew.com. If you've got a prayer request, there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So be sure to text us that request at 855-888-0444, or you can email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. We're glad that you're here. We'll see you next time.